This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the most beautiful, the most excellent names of Allah. And today, inshallah, we're going to do a very special name. All of the names of Allah are special, of course. All of the names of Allah are excellent, they're beautiful. But this name is a name which is known to many people and also a name which a lot of people hold dear to their heart. And this name of Allah is the name Al-Mujib. Al-Mujib, the one who answers, the one who responds. The one who is al-mujib, mujib has mubalagha, hyperbole in it. So it means that he is ever responsive. He responds, he answers his slaves a lot, over and over again. And the name of Allah, mujib, occurs two times in the Quran, once in the singular form and once in the plural form. So we have in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ That how Salih alayhi salam, when he invited his people to worship Allah alone, when he invited his people to repent to Allah and to seek forgiveness from Allah, he gave them hope. He said, indeed, my Lord is قَرِيب, he is ever near, he is مُجِيب, he is ever responsive. So Salih alayhi salam did not just warn his people, he also gave them hope. By making them realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near, not far. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to his slaves. He does not ignore his slaves. And this is something very important, something that we must believe in and something that we must remind one another of. And especially when we are telling people about who Allah is, this is what we should teach them, that Allah answers his slaves. He is mujib. He is not too busy to, you know, to not be able to respond to his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that weakness. And you see, when it comes to the creation, the reason why we are not able to respond to others is because either we don't have that capacity. So for example, they're asking us for something that we don't have, so we don't know how to respond. Or sometimes what happens is that we get overwhelmed by the number of requests and the number of, you know, questions. So for example, if your children are asking you, you know, too many things or repeatedly over and over again, then what happens is that you get frazzled, right? You get overwhelmed and you say that, I'm sorry, I can't answer you right now, right? If you have too many messages, too many emails, you know, too many requests to respond to, you get overwhelmed. You become anxious because you have a limited capacity. Or sometimes what happens is that people just don't want to answer others because they belittle them. They look down on them, right? They don't give them much importance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-A'la, He is the highest, He is the greatest. His treasures are the most vast, and He is also loving towards His slaves. So when His slaves call upon Him, He does not ignore them. He responds, He answers them. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is mujib, He is ever responsive. And then we learn in Surah Saffat, ayah 75, where the name of Allah mujib is mentioned in the plural form, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ And certainly, Nuh called upon us, and how excellent are we as those who respond, meaning the response, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excellent in responding to his slaves. Yani look at how Allah responded to his slave Nuh alayhi salam, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the floodgates, right? So there was water pouring down from the sky and water bubbling out from the earth. And as we learn in the Quran, فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ, right? That the waters, meaning the water that was coming down from the sky and the water that was coming up from the earth, all of that water, it met. And there was the amount of water that was decreed, right? Why so much? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the call of his slave Nuh alayhi salam. And remember that the plural form is mentioned in Surah Safat al-Mujibun. Why? Because sometimes the plural form is actually used to show greatness and royalty. And that is the purpose over here. So when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to his slaves, we should feel that, we should appreciate that, remember that greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is al-mujib, he responds to his slaves. Now when we look at the word mujib is from ijabah, right? Ijabah is to give jawab, to answer. And the word ijabah literally means two things. Right, ijabah is to first of all answer, meaning to answer a question. So, for example, someone asks you, "Who is Allah?" Right. So you give them the jawab. You give them the answer that Allah is our Lord. Right. Allah is the only God worthy of worship. Allah is Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. Right. So you give them the answer. Okay, so the first type of ijabah is to give an answer to a question, meaning to give ilm, to give clarification. And then the second type of ijabah is to give what has been requested, right? So for example, if someone has requested you for something and you give that to them, someone asks you, may I have some water? And you give them water. This is what? You giving them what they have requested. So these are two forms of ijabah: to answer a question, right? To respond, as in to give an answer. And secondly, to give to the other what he has asked for. So these are two meanings of the word ijabah. Now, mujib, linguistically, mujib is ism fa'il. So it is someone who answers and gives what is requested of him. Right? Who answers, meaning when people ask, he gives an answer, right? And when someone makes a request, he grants that request. This is the literal meaning of the word mujib. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mujib, the one who responds, the one who answers, what does that mean? This means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds his slaves. What he responds to his slaves, he answers his slaves when they ask him. And what this means is that when people ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, then he does not leave them, in their ignorance. He does not leave them, such that their request or their call has been ignored. So for example, we see in the Quran that there are so many verses that begin with the word yas'alunaka, right? Yas'alunaka, they ask you, okay? So for example, the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yas'alunaka anil ahilla, about the crescent moons, right? About the crescent, that what is it, how is it relevant to us, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the answer, that قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ, that tell them that this is a means of telling time for people. Meaning when people see the crescent, they know that it's the beginning of the month or it's the end of the month, right? And through that, they're able to figure out time, make sense of time, and also determine the exact time of Hajj, right? So yes, the people asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the crescent moon? But why did they ask him? Because he was supposed to be their source of knowledge. Right? And where would he get that knowledge from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who would reveal that knowledge to him. So we see that the companions, you know, they would have all of these questions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave them in ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. He gave revelation, clarifying these matters for them. And we see so many questions mentioned in the Quran, right? يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ They ask you, what is it that they should spend? Tell them, whatever that you spend, then begin from your parents, etc. And then they ask you about, what you know, عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ About alcohol and gambling. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى They ask you about the wealth of the orphans. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ They ask you about menstruation. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ They ask you about the sacred months, fighting in there. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ They ask you what is permissible for them, meaning to eat. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ They ask you about war booty. So whatever questions that people had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation, clarifying matters to them. Those questions were not ignored. And then even questions that were not appropriate, meaning for people to ask, because remember that there are some questions that, yes, we should ask when these matters are related to our actions. But when, you know, we're asking questions that are irrelevant, that have nothing, you know, which don't bring us any knowledge that is relevant to us, then we should refrain from asking such questions. But still, when people asked such questions, you know, guidance was given that, for example, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا They ask you about the hour, when is it going to occur? So then the response is given that فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَهَا In what position are you to even mention its time? Meaning you don't have the answer for it. So they should not be asking you such questions. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib, meaning He answers in the sense that He gives clarification and knowledge to His slaves when they have confusion, when they have questions, when they seek clarification. And we see that this is not just in the manner of revelation, but also when you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you remember Allah, when you mention Allah, when you praise Allah, then you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you. Yes, you. We learn, for example, in a hadith that, and this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that when a person is praying salah, right, and they're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and the person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah who is the Lord of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually answers. He says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. And then when a person says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, Athna Alayya Abdi. When the person says Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Majadani Abdi, my slave has glorified me, right? And then when a person says Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is between me and my slave, and my slave will have what he asks for, right? When a person says Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wal dallin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ This is for my slave, and my slave will have what he's asking for. And what is it that we're asking for over there? We are asking for guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant shall have what he is asking for. SubhanAllah, when you talk to Allah, Allah answers you. In another hadith, we learn about how when a person makes dhikr, right? When you mention Allah, when you glorify Allah, when you praise Allah, Allah actually answers, right? In a hadith, we learned that once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this man was a very simple man, a Bedouin. And this man said, Ya Rasulullah, allimni khayra, that O Messenger of Allah, teach me something good, meaning something good that I can do. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that man count on his hand. Basically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted on his fingers, right? And he said, say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, right? Say these four things. Okay, say subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Wallahu Akbar, and Allah is the greatest. So what happened? This man, and he repeated these words, right, by using his fingers. And then he got up to go, but then he returned, right? He got up to go, and then he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Now the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Messenger of Allah, these words, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, these are for Allah. What about me? Right? When I say Allah is perfect, when I say all praise to Allah, when I say there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, when I say Allah is the greatest, this is all for Allah. What about me? Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you say Subhanallah, Allah says, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. When you say Alhamdulillah, Allah says, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. When you say La ilaha illallah, Allah says, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah says, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. So when you mention Allah, when you praise Allah, Allah actually answers. He responds. And this is not just a one-sided conversation, right? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him that when you say after that, Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qad fa'altu, I've done that. And when you say, Allahumma arhamni, O Allah, have mercy on me, Allah says, fa'altu, I've done that. And when you say, Allahumma arzuqni, O Allah, give me sustenance, Allah says, qad fa'altu, I have done that. So then the man was really happy, and then he remembered these words, and he walked away. And what are these words? That after you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, you ask Allah for three things. What are these three things? Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma arhamni, Allahumma rizuqni. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, have mercy on me. O Allah, grant me sustenance. So when you make dua to Allah, your words are not going into oblivion. No, your words are being heard. When you praise Allah, these words are not just getting lost in air. No, your words are being heard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to you because Allah is Mujib. And then also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib, the one who responds, this means that He responds to His slaves when they call upon Him. Meaning when you make dua to Allah, when you ask Allah for something, when you make a request, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not return you empty-handed. As Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 186, that وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and He responds to the dua, to the call, to the invocation of the caller when he calls upon Allah. Meaning when you make dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you. He responds to you. He doesn't return you empty-handed. In Surah Ghafir, ayah 60, we learn, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, call upon me and I will answer you. I will give you. I will not leave you empty-handed. I will not return you with nothing. I will not send you away with nothing. I will give you something. Now remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to His slaves, meaning He gives them, He grants them their requests, then this is of different levels. This is of different kinds. Okay. The first category is of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to simply because of the fact that they are His slaves. Yani Allah is the Rabb, Allah is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. So when his slaves call upon Him, when His slaves ask Him for something, then He gives them. Okay? Simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb and He grants them, He gives them. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise, right, that he gives to his slaves, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what state they're in, no matter what they're doing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Rabb. And we see that this doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Okay, meaning just because Allah is giving a slave his request, right? Allah is giving someone what they have asked for. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And this is something very important that we must understand. We learn, for example, in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 65, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the state of the mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah, those who worship multiple gods. That what happens is that فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ, when they are on a ship, right, they're in the middle of the sea, and then there's a storm, and then they start calling upon different gods and different idols, etc., and they see that nothing is working. Eventually, what do? دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ, they call upon Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, worshipping only Him. Okay, they call upon Allah alone. All right, because they've tried different things, nothing worked. So now they only call upon Allah, and then فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. So when He delivers them to the land, meaning He rescues them, He takes them to safety, what do? Immediately they start associating partners with Allah. So we see over here that these are people who actually associate partners with Allah, but when they call upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them, right? He rescues them. In Surah An-Naml, ayah 62, it is mentioned, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ, that who is the one who responds to the مُضْطَر when he calls upon Allah? Who is muttar? Muttar is the person who is extremely distressed, right? Very, very distressed. And they're in a desperate situation. So regardless of who they are, right? Regardless of how righteous or sinful they are, no matter who they are, when they call upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers them, right? He saves them. He gives them another chance. And we see, for example, that Iblis asked Allah for something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Iblis his request, right? For example, we learn in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 36 to 38, that Iblis said, قَالَ رَبِّي فَأَنْظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, that, O my Lord, Rabbi, O my Lord, فَأَنْظِرْنِي, give me respite until the day that people are resurrected. Meaning, let me live until the day of judgment, and let me do whatever I want until the day of judgment. All right. So what happened? قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. Allah granted that request. He said, okay, you are of those who are given respite. SubhanAllah. Yani Iblis asked Allah for something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to him. Yeah, what Iblis asked for, right, was what? Was something good? No. Why is it that he wanted to live until the day of judgment? And he have that freedom until the day of judgment in order to lead people astray. And still he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his request. Likewise, we learn about how Abu Jahl, right? Abu Jahl, before he left for the battle of Badr, right, to fight against the Muslims, he actually, went to the up to the Kaaba, held the kiswa of the Kaaba, and called upon Allah. Right, that if this is, he basically asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make matters clear. All right, and this is mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 19, that إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْفَتْحُ. Right, that if you were seeking an opening, a clarification, then that has come. Right, meaning you were asking for matters to become clear, and now the matter has become very clear. You are upon falsehood, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upon truth. Yani Abu Jahl is requesting Allah for something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that. Likewise, we learn about the people of Saba. Right, they're mentioned in Surah Saba, verse number 19, that how they said, "Rabbana ba'id bayna asfarina," that they basically asked for difficulty, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that to them, right? They prayed against themselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that to them. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He is mujib. He responds, but that response is of different levels. The first type of response is that which He gives to any creature, right? Simply because they are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slaves. And that response does not necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And this is something that we really need to reflect over. Because sometimes we think that, you know, people whose wishes come true, right? They're so fortunate. They're so lucky. Allah must be pleased with them. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. This is not a sign of Allah's approval. But then secondly, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to His beloved slaves, right? There is ijaba khassa. And this is the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those slaves who respond to Him. Those servants who turn to Him, who surrender to Allah, right? Who worship Allah alone, who are sincere and obedient to Allah alone. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially answers them. And this is why, if you notice in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an." I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls upon me. And then it is said, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So they should respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And they should believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. In order that they are rightly guided. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to His slaves, right? أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. But those who want that response to be an honor for them, a means of qurb, a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means of guidance, a means of right direction, then what should they do? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. That they should respond to Allah, believe in Allah, in order that they are rightly guided. And that is what we should be seeking. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those special and beloved slaves, right? Whom He responds to out of with love, with acceptance, right? Now the question is, who are those people to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially responds to? Who are those people? What are those actions which we can do in order to be among such people? We see that, first of all, those people who are in the way of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them. Why? Because He is pleased with them. Specifically, the one who is who goes out in the way of Allah, the Hajj and the Mu'tamir. Hajj meaning the one who goes for Hajj and the one who goes for Umrah. In a hadith we learn that such people are wafdullah. They are the delegation. Right, that of Allah, as if guests of Allah, right? So, da'ahum fa'ajabuhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them and they responded to Him. Wasa'aluhu fa'a'tahum. And then they ask Allah and Allah gives them, right? He grants them their requests. When you go for Hajj, when you go for Umrah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to go there soon. When you go, why do you go? Is it for sightseeing? No. Is it to, engage in some kind of business, something like that? No. You're going simply to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah. You go to that place because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to go there for Hajj, to go there for Umrah. You go in obedience to Allah. You are responding to Allah. So when you respond to Allah and then call upon Allah, then Allah answers you. And secondly, those who are oppressed, those who are being treated unfairly, or the person who is traveling, and also the father when he makes dua for his children. In a hadith which is in Sahih al-Adab al-Mufrad, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three du'as which are mustajabat, which are answered, responded to. Right, mustajabatul lahunna, la shakka fihinna, and there is no doubt about that. And what are these three? Du'as da'watul mazlum, the supplication of the oppressed, the prayer of the oppressed. Meaning when a person has been treated unfairly, when a person has been abused, right? When a person has not been given what they deserve, or what is their right has been wrongfully taken away from them. And we see this happens. So when a person in that condition, when they call upon Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them. And this is so beautiful, so empowering. Because you see, when a person has been oppressed, right, they feel violated. They feel so weak. They feel so incapable. But no, you are not incapable. You still have power. Right? Even though someone is trying to deprive you of what is rightfully yours, someone has been, you know, so unfair to you, you still have the power to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? Da'watul mazlum, when a person calls upon Allah in a state when they have been oppressed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly responds to them. So it's so important that in such a condition, we channel that, all of those feelings towards calling upon Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So da'watul mazlum. Secondly, in the hadith, what is mentioned, da'watul musafir, the dua of the musafir, the traveler. Because when you're traveling, right, you are in a state of hardship, basically, right? You are in a state of discomfort. You are, perhaps hungry or tired, right? Perhaps you're feeling sad about being so far away from your family. Right? And why is it that you are traveling? A Muslim will travel for a beneficial reason, right? Either you're going to visit your family, you're going to, earn money, you're going for work purposes, to seek lawful income. You're traveling to seek knowledge. You're traveling to meet someone for the sake of Allah. It's a good cause. So for that reason, inshallah, when you make dua while you're traveling, that dua is responded to. And then thirdly, in the hadith, what is mentioned, وَدَعْوَةُ الْوَالِدِ عَلَى وَالِدِهِ, the dua that the father makes for his child. And this is so important, the dua that the father makes for his child. Right now, this doesn't mean that dua that a mother makes is not accepted. In this hadith, what is being highlighted is the fact that when a father makes dua for his children, that dua is accepted. And this shows how important it is that fathers take interest in the growth, development of their children. And it's not just the mother's responsibility that she is, exerting herself so much, in making sure that her children are eating well, they are getting their, exercise, activities, enrichment, good food, homework, etc. This is not just a concern of the mother, that it's not the father's job is not just to go to work and bring money, put it in the bank, and let the wife do everything, right? And then when he comes home, he just sits in front of the couch, in front of the television, and he expects to be served and khalas. No, the father must be concerned about his children. And look at this, when you make dua for your child, the fact that you are the father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us. Right. Thirdly, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially responds to the person who is being oppressed, even if he may be sinful, meaning even if the oppressed person may be doing something wrong. This is, again, so empowering. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn that the dua of the oppressed is responded to. Wa in kana fajiran. Even if he is fajir, meaning even if he is sinful in some other ways, فَفُجُورُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ, right? His sin will be, to his detriment, basically. Yani, he's still responsible for the sins that he is committing, but that's a different matter, right? Here, the fact that he is being oppressed, right? And in that state, he calls upon Allah against the oppressor, right? This is a reason for his dua to be accepted. Then we see that children who pray for their parents. In a hadith we learn, this is in Ibn Majah, that a man is such that لَتُرْفَعُ دَرَجَتُهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, right? That his rank is raised in paradise. So that person says, أَنَّ هَذَا, يعني, why did I get this promotion? So it is said, بِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَلَدِكَ لَكَ, because of your child seeking forgiveness for you, because your child used to make dua for you. This is why your rank is being elevated in paradise. So it's so important that as children, we make dua for our parents, for their health, for their safety, their well-being, and if they have passed away, for their forgiveness, for the acceptance of their deeds. This is something that we should do as children. This is something that our parents deserve from us, that we must make dua for them. And again, this is so empowering because, sometimes it happens that you are in a condition where you are not able to be with your parents or serve them the way that you want to. And especially these days, you're not able to travel. And in some places where there's lockdown, you cannot visit your parents. And even if you visit them, you just see them by the, from the door. You're not able to, have that contact. So you're not, helpless where you have no option. No, you have the power of dua. You call upon Allah, right, for your parents. So and remember that when you make dua for someone, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them what you are not able to give them, right? Better than what you are able to give them. So make dua for your parents. Then we see that those who pray for others in their absence, then this dua is also accepted. We also learned that the fasting person, when he breaks his fast, at that time, his dua is accepted. Those who remember a lot, their dua is accepted. And also a just ruler. In a hadith, we learn there are three people whose dua is not rejected. Who are they? First, أَذَّكِرُ كَثِيرًا, the person who remembers Allah much, a lot. And this is something that we need to reflect over, right? That how much do we remember Allah at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, throughout the day, as we are, sitting, laying down or standing, right? Because this is something that we have been encouraged to do. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, those who remember Allah while they're standing, they're sitting, and also while they're lying down, while they're resting. But these days, subhanAllah, we always have our phones with us, right? And so whenever we have a moment, whether we are standing or sitting or laying down, what is it that we do? We pick up our phone, right? That's what we use. That's what we read. That's what we, remember. But these are moments that we need to spend in the dhikr of Allah, because those who remember Allah a lot, their dua is not rejected. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that hadith, da'watul madhloom, the dua of the oppressed. And thirdly, al-imamul muqsit, a ruler who is just, right? And this is something important. When a person has been given a position of authority, then how are they dealing with the people who are under them? And this could be in any capacity. This could be as a parent, that how is it that you are dealing with your children? Is there fairness, right? It could be at work. How is it that you are paying, the people who work for you? Is there fairness, right? So those who are just, then their dua is also accepted. And then we see that in another hadith about how a person who sleeps in a state of wudu and while making dhikr. A hadith in Abu Dawood mentions that there is no Muslim who goes to bed, to sleep in the night, ala dhikrin, while making dhikr, tahiran, and while in a state of purity. And what is meant by that is in a state of wudu, right? So a person falls asleep in that state, that they were in a state of wudu and they were making dhikr. And what happens then in the night? فَيَتَعَرُّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ. And then this person wakes up in the night, right? Or he turns his side, tosses and turns. And then at that time, in his bed, he asks Allah for something good in the world or in the hereafter, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to him. Allahu Akbar. And this is something that's doable, right? It's something that is very much possible, that before we go to sleep, we make wudu. And as we lay down, again, we're not looking at our phones, scrolling through the feed. No, just put the phone away. And at that time, make dhikr. And make dhikr, say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, right? Make different adhkar. And as you're making dhikr, you fall asleep in the middle of the night. Anytime you wake up, you toss, you turn. And at that time, you make dua, even something as small as Allahumma ghfirli, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah will give that to you. Right? And especially in the night, what happens is that your worries, your concerns, they disrupt your sleep. So you keep waking up, you have an exam the next day, you have a major assignment due the next day, you have a very, tight schedule, you have a lot on your plate, and that stress, that anxiety is keeping you up, right? Your sleep is not restful. So you keep waking up. Every time you wake up, you make dua, you call upon Allah. Allah is mujib. He will respond. He will give you what you are asking for. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Right? A person asks for anything good of this dunya or of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mujib. He responds to all of his slaves. But then there are some slaves whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially responds to. And this is, his mercy towards them, his approval of them, his love towards them. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Now we see in the Quran so many examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to his slaves. We have, first of all, the example of Nuh alayhi salam, right? We learn about how Allah says, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. That, and remember Nuh, when he called upon us before, right? Because Nuh alayhi salam was the first messenger, right? So he called upon Allah. Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We answered him. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ. And we saved him and his family. The dua of Nuh alayhi salam was responded to because Allah is mujib. We learn about Yusuf alayhi salam, that when all those women were there and that the wife of Aziz threatened him that if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to end up in prison, right? So what did he say? Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. Oh my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me to. Wa illa tasrif anni kaydahunna asbu ilayhinna wa akum min al-jahidin. And if you don't turn away their plot from me, I am going to lean towards them, because I'm after all a human and I will be of those who are ignorant. So what happened? Allah says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. His Lord responded to him. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned away their plot from him. So Yusuf alayhi salam made dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. We learn about Musa alayhi salam, right? That Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah, basically against Fir'aun and his people. And we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, ayah 89, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا, that your dua has been responded to. It has been answered. We learn about the day of Uhud, right? In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِسْتَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When you were calling upon Allah desperately and He responded to you. Right. We learn about Yunus alayhi salam, that when he called upon Allah, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ, we responded to him and we rescued him from his sadness. We learn about Zakariya alayhi salam, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا, we responded to him and we granted him, we gave him his son Yahya. We learn about Ayyub alayhi salam, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we responded to him, فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍّ, and we removed whatever difficulty there was on him, whatever hardship that he was experiencing. We learn about believers at the end of Surah Ali Imran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, so their Lord responded to them. So remember, when you call upon Allah, you are heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. He gives. He answers. He does not ignore his slaves. In fact, the very words you use to call upon Allah, those words are recorded. Aren't the angels appointed to write what you say? To write what you do? And any action that you do which is good, which is rewardable, then the reward for that is 10 times. Right? So that reward is also recorded. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib, right? He responds. And this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mind answering his slaves. He does not find it difficult to give to his slaves because his treasures are vast. Right? We discussed this earlier about how people have difficulty in granting requests. Why? Because their resources are limited. Their capacity is limited. Right? Their generosity even has its limits. Sometimes you want to give a lot to others, but you only have so much. Right? And sometimes, yeah, you want to give them, but you're like, you know, I've given them enough. I also have to think about others. I also have to think about myself. I don't know if they deserve more from me, right? So our capacity, our resources are limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib. He responds because his treasures are vast. His rahmah, his mercy is great. So we learn in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my slaves, if the first of you and the last of you and the men among you and the jinn among you, yani all of you, right, you all became the most righteous. Your hearts became like the heart of the most righteous among you, that would not increase in my dominion at all. Meaning your righteousness does not benefit me. Right? And the hadith continues, the statement of Allah continues, where it is mentioned that if all of you were to stand and ask me, and I were to give every person what he has asked for, that would not reduce what is with me. That would not reduce my treasures. Except like how a needle reduces the water of the ocean when it is dipped and taken out of it. Subhanallah. Yani this is the vastness of the treasures of Allah. They are not reduced by His generosity towards us. So Allah is al-mujib. Another thing we must understand is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib, yani He responds, yes, this means that He gives. And when he grants the slaves their requests, there is wisdom in that. And when he withholds, again, there is wisdom in that. Yani, we should never think Allah did not answer me. No, this is wrong. Because Allah is al-mujib, right? He responds, right? The reason why Allah did not give you something that you asked for, right? He did not give you what you asked for at this moment, right? There's a lot of wisdom in that. And it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not answering you. He's not responding to you. He's not giving you what you're asking for. No, there is so much that you don't know. So one wisdom, right? Why Allah behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us what we have asked for, or he does not give us immediately, is to make us realize and remember our need of him. Because if we got everything that we wished for, then what would happen? We would think that we are self-sufficient. We are not in need of Allah. And we see that in so many people, right? That because their wishes are fulfilled here, now they have what they want, what they desire, then they have forgotten about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds from his slaves, then there is great wisdom in that. This reminds us of the fact that we are in need of him. In Surah Fatir, ayah 15, we learn, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. That, O people, you all are fuqara, you all are poor, in need before Allah, and Allah is the one who is rich, free of need, praiseworthy. Right? So, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Just think about it this way, that as a parent, or as a teacher, or as an employer, right? When people ask you, when your children ask you, when your employees ask you, right? When they keep making requests, do you grant every single request? No, you don't. Why? Because A, of course, you have limited capacity, you have limited resources, you cannot give everyone what they're asking for, right? And secondly, you want to teach them some lessons, right? Especially when it comes to your children, you want to teach them some lessons. Yes, you have the money. Yes, you can afford that Lego set. Yes, you can afford to get them, you know, dinner from their favorite restaurant for the third time in the week. You have that money, right? Yes, you can get them the, you know, the shoes that they want, that they desire, but you don't grant every request. Why? Because you want to teach them some important lessons, right? So just because you're not giving your child everything that your child is asking for, does that make you an unresponsive parent? Or a parent who does not care about his child? Or a parent who is too selfish? Or a mother who does not love her children? No, that's not the case. You do look after the needs of your children. In fact, you are very generous towards them. But you also know that if they get everything that they ask for, that's not healthy for them. That's not good for them. So as a human being, you use your limited wisdom and knowledge and experience, right, to decide what you want to give, when you want to give. So then if this is with you as a human being, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Do you think there is no wisdom when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives something to his slaves and when he withholds something from his slaves? Absolutely, there is wisdom that we cannot even fathom at the moment. We don't even realize. We will never be able to fully comprehend. But what we must believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he certainly responds. He is al-mujib. In a hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ma min rajulin yad'u Allah bidu'ain illa stujiba lahu. That there is no person who calls upon Allah except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers him, right? Except that the person is responded to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in a number of ways, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that. Firstly, he mentioned, فَإِمَّا أَن يُعَجَّلَ لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. That either he is given in, what he has asked for in the world. So what happens? Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a slave exactly what the slave has asked for. But remember, that is not necessarily a sign of Allah's approval. So for example, you prayed, you made dua, Ya Allah, I want to have this particular job, right? I want to marry this individual. Ya Allah, I want children. Ya Allah, I want to, become healthier. You ask Allah, right? And Allah gives you, okay? You got that. You got what you asked for. This doesn't necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, okay? Because Allah is giving you because he is mujib. Now, the hadith continues, وَإِمَّا أَن يُدَّخَرَ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stores that for him in the hereafter. Now this is a sign of Allah's approval, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved that reward for the slave, where? In the hereafter. Now the thing is that when you ask for something once, you make dua once, you get it, all right? Now once you get it, your dua is finished. You're not going to make that same dua again. But when you ask for something, okay, and you don't get it immediately, right? So what happens then? You believe Allah is mujib, right? You believe Allah is as-samir. So you make dua again, and you make dua again, and you make dua again, and you make dua again. And you keep making dua, and you keep asking Allah, and 10 years go by, and 15 years go by, and 20 years go by, and 30 years go by, and you're making that dua until the end of your life. Guess what? Every single time you made dua, it was recorded for you in your hasanat. Imagine what Allah has stored for you of reward in the hereafter. You see, the goal here, when we call upon Allah, the goal is not to get the trinkets of this world. That's not the focus. The goal, the purpose of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to worship Allah, right? Dua is worship. It is to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. The real fruit of dua is actually in the hereafter. That is where a person will find the real fruit of the real reward, the actual outcome of their dua, when they see its result in the hereafter. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stores the reward for the slave where? In the hereafter. Then the hadith continues, وَإِمَّا أَن يُكَفَّرَ عَنْهُ مِنْ زُنُوبِهِ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates some of his sins because of it, because of his dua. Right? So you make dua. You make dua. Ya Allah, I really want to pass this exam. Ya Allah, make me pass this exam. What happens? You don't pass in that exam. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you fail. Okay? So what happened? You made dua and then you were hurt. Right? Hurt because you failed. Right? So, but you were still hopeful. Right? You still believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's you still believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. You believe that there is wisdom in it. You accept Allah's decree. You say, Raditu Rabbi, right? You believe that there must be something good in this. So guess what? Because you were patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove some of your sins from you. This dua will become a means of purification and forgiveness for you. How beautiful is that, right? So, and then we also learn that sometimes when a person makes dua for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives them something else that is better than what the slave asked for. And this is also so beautiful. Right, we learn, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 35 and 36, about how the mother of Maryam, when she was expecting, right, she said that, Ya Allah, I pledge my child for your worship, for your service, that when my child will be born, and she was expecting, she was hoping that it would be a boy, she said that I will take my boy, my son, to the Bayt al-Maqdis. My son will stay over there, and he will, be free from me, and he will not have to, take care of me or be with me or give me my right. No, my child will be consecrated for your worship only, right? And she said, "Fataqabbal minni, ya Rabb, accept this from me." But then what happened? When she gave birth to her child, she found out it was actually a girl, right? And guess what? For her, for Hannah, having a girl was better than having a boy, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. Allah was most knowing of what she gave birth to, what she delivered, right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her better than what she asked for. And the thing is, walaysa dhakaru kal unsa, the male is not like the female. Here, a girl was going to be far more beneficial, right? And we learn about how Maryam alayhi salam, what a righteous woman she was, what an abida, she was, and then how she became the mother of Isa alayhi salam. So Yes, you know, sometimes you ask for something and you don't get that exactly, but you get what is better. So then ultimately we have to see that if our dua is drawing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And in the sense that what we receive from Allah in response to our supplication is drawing us closer to Allah, then this is a good sign. But if our dua, meaning our, the response to our dua, the response that we get is making us distant from Allah, then this is not a good sign. And we should really pay attention, because sometimes, you know, we're making dua for something, right? We're making a lot of dua. Ya Allah, I really want a house, right? Ya Allah, I really want to get married, etc. Right? You're making dua, and then your dua is being, you know, you see its answer, right? You see it being answered. You get to buy a house. You find the perfect person to get married to. But then we have to see, are we still obedient to Allah? Or are we using these blessings now to disobey Allah? Right? Because if these blessings are taking us away from Allah, they're making us disobey Allah, then this is a very scary thing. This is actually something very frightening. Because this is, you know, like how we learn in the Quran about how there are people who أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that you consumed all your good things, all your good rewards in worldly life. So you have nothing in the hereafter. You got your good share in the world, and there is no reward for you in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of what dua really is, so that we use it in the right way. And we continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib, the one who answers, the one who responds to his slaves, what is our duty? What is our share? Our duty, our responsibility is that first of all, we should respond to Allah. If we want Allah to respond to us, we should first and foremost look at our condition, our state. Do we respond to Allah? And responding to Allah it means that, for example, when it is said, Hayya ala salah, come to prayer, then we go to pray salah, right? Istajibu lillah. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 24, we learn, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi wa lirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who have believed, respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which brings you life. In Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah 18, we learn, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى. Those people who respond to their Lord, they will have the most excellent reward. And how is it that you respond to Allah? By believing in Him, by obeying Him, right? By seeking means of nearness to Him. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 47, we're given a warning, استجيبوا لربكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله. Respond to your Lord before a day comes which is never going to be averted, a day that will never be reverted. It's not possible to push that day away, to avoid that day. So respond to your Lord with obedience and submission before that. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mujib, the one who responds, then what should we do? We should call upon Allah, right? We should call upon Allah. And how should we call upon Allah? With conviction, with firm faith, right? As we learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So he can think whatever, right? Meaning, if he thinks good, that is what he will get. And if he thinks evil, then that is what he will get. So think good about Allah. Meaning when you are calling upon Allah, expect good from Him. That whatever Allah gives me for this, I'm happy with that. Right? I am happy with that. Whether Allah gives it to me in the hereafter, or He gives me something else, or He forgives me instead, or He protects me through this. I am happy. Right, but have that firm faith and conviction. In a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hayy, He is kareem, He is hayy, Allah has haya, and He is kareem, He is very generous, He is shy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy, meaning he does not like it. He's shy. He hesitates. That a slave raises his hands before Allah and Allah returns those hands empty-handed, empty, with nothing in them. Which means that when you call upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something. Definitely something, because He is Mujib, right? He is Mujib. He will affirm your words. He will grant you His mercy. He will give you something. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib, this means that we should call upon Him alone, right? Meaning we should make dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any intermediary. Call upon Him directly. And do not call upon others. In Surah Fatir, ayah 14, we learn, إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ. If you were to call upon them, meaning the false deities, they would never hear you. And even if they were to hear you, they wouldn't be able to answer you. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِكُمْ. And on the day of judgment, they're going to deny your association of them. Meaning they're not going to be pleased that, oh yeah, thank you so much for, you know, putting me at such a high status. No, they're going to reject it completely. Imam Ahmad, it is said that he used to say, Allahumma kama sunta wajhi an as-sujudi li ghayrik, fasun wajhi an mas'alati ghayrik. That, oh Allah, as you have protected my face from making sajda to anyone other than you, right? That you have given me the ability to make sajda only to you. Protect my face from begging anyone other than you. This is so beautiful. That, Ya Allah, just as I make sajda only to you, make me such that I call upon you alone. You alone. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 29, we're told, وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Call upon Him, making your worship sincere. And He sincerely call upon Allah with ikhlas. And sincerely, as an only call upon Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib, this means that we should call upon Him a lot, because He answers, right? Mujib is ever responsive. Which means that if you called upon Him 2 minutes ago, He will answer you. If you call upon Him now, He will answer. If you call upon Him 5 minutes from now, 2 minutes from now, a minute from now, 30 seconds from now, it doesn't matter how frequently you call upon Him, Allah answers. And what is the case with people? You send them a message 30 seconds later, they'll get annoyed, right? You send them a message and you send them an email and you send them a message somewhere else, they'll get annoyed, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you call Him over and over and over and over again. And this is the habit that we need to develop. That instead of always going after people, help me, tell me the answer to this, give me this, please, listen to me, right? I need to vent. Can you help me? Instead of always turning towards people, make the habit of turning towards Allah first. And also call upon Allah repeatedly. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when one of you asks, meaning Allah, فَلْيُكْثِرْ, then he should ask a lot. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ, because he is calling upon his Lord. And if you don't ask Allah, who else are you supposed to ask? Right? Meaning, when you ask people, for example, even if you were to ask your parents, right? You're going shopping, you ask your parents, may I please have some money, right? You'd love to have $1,000, but there's no way you can say that. So you say 70 maybe, right? 100 maybe maximum, right? And as you say it, you bite your lip. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're calling upon Allah. Don't be shy over there. Don't play safe over there, right? No, ask for whatever you want. Ask for a lot and ask repeatedly. In a hadith we learn, whoever asks Allah for Jannah 3 times, Jannah says, Allahumma adkhilhu al-Jannah. Oh Allah, admit him into Jannah. And whoever seeks refuge with Allah against the fire 3 times, the fire says, Allahumma ajirhu min al-Nar. Ya Allah, save this person from the fire. So call upon Allah a lot. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mujib, this also means that we should call upon Him with humility and hope, not arrogance. And you don't be like demanding. that, Ya Allah, I've been asking you, I still don't have it. Ya Allah, just give it to me already. Astaghfirullah. No, show humility. You are the slave. He is the master, right? Don't call, don't make dua arrogantly, you know, from that state of, with that sense of entitlement. No, show humility. Show that neediness. All right, and we are told in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 55, "Udu'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiyatan, innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin." That call upon Allah with humility, right, and also, privately. Indeed, Allah does not like those who commit transgression. Now, what does it mean to commit transgression in making du'a? Because in a hadith, we learned that there will be people in my ummah who will commit transgression in purifying themselves, meaning in cleaning themselves, and also in making dua, right? So what does that mean? We learn in a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, and it has been authenticated by Hakim, about how Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu, he heard his son making dua, and his son was saying, اللهم إني أسألك القصر الأبيض عن يمين الجنة إذا دخلتها. That, oh Allah, I ask you for a shining white castle on the right side of Jannah as soon as I enter it. Okay. So he said, Ya Bunayya, سل الله الجنة. Oh my son, yeah, ask Allah for Jannah. وعوذ به من النار, and seek refuge with him from the fire. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that there will be people in my ummah who will commit transgression in making dua. So Abdullah ibn Mughaffal understood his son's dua as transgression in the sense that this is excessive, right? This doesn't mean that you don't ask for more, but what his son was doing was, Ya Allah, I want a white castle on the right side of paradise as soon as I enter it. Right? Yani, look at the entitlement here, that when I enter it, I want a house which is like this and this size and this location. Yani, who are you to set all of those? Are you placing an order here? Yani, this is something that we should be very careful about. And this etiquette we should teach our children. Because sometimes, you know, we're telling our children, in Jannah, you'll have everything. A house of ice cream and a house of, you know, chocolate and a house of candy. And a house of this, and a house of, yes, you want to get them excited, right? But also, you need make them realize that don't just assume you're entering Jannah, right? Have good hope, but realize that we are slaves who are requesting Allah to grant us from His mercy. We're not placing orders over here. So we should have that humility. When we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should use the correct wasail. Wasila is a means of nearness, right? And in the Quran, we have been taught different ways of making dua through which, when we adopt, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to our dua because of that. So, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 180, we're told, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most excellent names, so call upon Him by those names. So, when you're making dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib. You know, praise Allah, glorify Allah, right? Use the correct wasail. And then, also remember that take action. Allah is mujib, Allah responds. But this doesn't mean that you just keep asking Allah and do nothing yourself. You must call upon Allah and also take the action which is within your ability, right? Because yes, we are supposed to have husnul dhan, right? We are supposed to have good expectation of Allah, and good expectation. What it does is that it leads you to having courage, right? The right kind of husnul dhan about Allah brings you courage. Courage to take action, right? Courage to take the next step. So the right kind of expectation from Allah actually leads to husnul amal, good action, obedience, right? So, for example, in the Quran, we learn about the companions when they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, right? When they said, Allah is enough for us, because they had good expectation from Allah. But then they didn't just sit there in Medina. No, they got up, they took action, they went and pursued the enemy. Hassan al-Basri said that verily the believer thinks positively of his Lord, therefore he does righteous deeds. And the evildoer thinks negatively of his Lord, therefore he does evil deeds. Right? So we need to think about this, that yes, Allah is Mujib. We call upon him, but then we also simultaneously take the action which is within our ability. So inshallah, we will conclude over here about the name of Allah Al-Mujib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the right kind of hope and expectation. And may we be people who are truly seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. And may we not be of those people whose only obsession is the trinkets of this world. So if they get them, they're happy. And if they don't get them, they're unhappy with their Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.